Hi, this is Martin Jenkins. It's my pleasure to share this message with you entitled No Fear. This world is filled with all kinds of fears and torments, and if we allow ourselves to focus on these things, we can easily become afraid, and if left unchecked, our hearts could fail us. God does not want us to be in fear of anything. Jesus walked this earth totally free of fear, and so should we. Let's see how God's Word shows us how to walk free of fear. I hope that you enjoy this message.
And I believe, Heavenly Father, that as they hear, that they are going to be changed by this message, just as I am being changed by it. And Father, I believe that fear is being overcome in every person's life by perfect love. I thank you for it. Father, we come against the powers of darkness that would in any way try to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your peace. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Father, for what we're about to learn here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. So we've been talking here in the last few weeks about the love of God, how God loves us. Glory to God. That's a great message. God loves each and every one of us. And if we will only get a revelation just of His love for us, it's going to change our lives. I'm seeing for myself how just by focusing my attention on His love for me, how it's changing me. And we've used the verse in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that says that we love Him because He first loved us. And, you know, until recently, you know, I could read that verse and not truly appreciate what it was saying to me, that my love for Him is only possible because He first loved me. And it causes us to adjust the way we're looking at this situation, that it's not about my love for Him. Although, do I love the Lord Jesus? Do I love God? Obviously, yes. But my love for Him is only available, it's only possible because He first loved me. So as I focus my attention on His love for me, as I allow that revelation of the fact that God loves me to be birthed in my spirit, to illuminate me on the inside, it's affecting every part of my relationship with Him. And I hope that that is doing the same thing for you. I would encourage you to go back and look at these messages. I believe this is the fourth one tonight in this series. Look at these messages, listen to them, and allow them to get inside of you, because that's how you're going to be changed. So tonight, we want to look at the aspect of fear, because we looked at this in the last message, going back to 1 John 4. And it's taught where it talks about perfect love casts out fear. Let's start off by reading that one verse, and that's going to be in 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, if you get a turn with me, 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love. So you can just stop right there and just meditate on those words. There's no fear in love. Wherever you have love, and this love is not humanistic love. We're not talking about the kind of love that natural human love that people have one to another. This is the love that comes from knowing God, comes out of your reborn human spirit, and originates in Him. So there's no fear in this kind of love, in agape love, the agape love of God. There's no fear, no fear. Just think about that for a minute. Can you imagine having no fear? You see, that's the way God expects us to be. No fear. No fear of anything. And that includes worry and fretting and being anxious about things. See, all of those, if you just track those backwards, you're going to find that the root of all of that is fear. It's not faith. And there's a verse that I'm just going to give you real quick. I'm going to throw this out here. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 23, and it says, and I am going to kind of pull this out of its setting, but I'm not going to change the essence of what this verse is saying, okay? And he that doubteth is damned if he eats, talking about whether a person is eating something according to the dietary laws or if they're eating in faith, believing that that through grace that they're not having to follow the dietary laws. But look at the last part of this verse. Because he that eateth not of faith, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, I know that that's got some teeth in it right there, that verse. But I want you to see the spectrum. On the right hand side, you have faith. On the left hand side, you have fear. And those are two diametrically opposed forces that we deal with in this world, faith or fear. Now, if you're going to operate in fear, and that goes back to anxiety, fretting, worrying, any one of those things, it is based in fear, and there's no faith in it. And quite honestly, when we get into those areas where we're anxious, we're fretting, we're committing sin. Now, I know that's not popular, particularly in the world we live in today. People don't want to hear that. They feel like they have a right to fear. They feel like they have a right to be anxious. It's almost as if they feel like they're being irresponsible for not doing that. Well, the problem with that mentality is this. If you're the one trying to solve your own problems, then you haven't really put it in God's hands to begin with. So right there, you're seeing that you're trying to be your own God and solve your own problems. So either we're going to trust God and believe God in his word that he's going to overcome in every situation on our behalf when we trust him, or we're not. And so here on one end of that spectrum, we have fear. The other end of that spectrum, we have faith in believing. And it's rooted in God's word, where we trust in him and we believe that what he said is coming to pass in our life. And we are not living fretting, fearful, worrying, anxious lives. You know, another verse that comes to mind is Luke chapter 21. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus was speaking, and he's talking about the last days, which, you know, you can say, well, Mark, are we really in the last days? Well, they were in the last days in the book of Acts. If they were, then we have to be in the last of the last days. So here's what it says here. In verse 25 is where we're going to begin. This is what Jesus said would be characteristics of the last days. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth. Distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Think about that. That as we grow, as we draw closer and closer to the end, that fear is going to come, is going to reach such a epidemic proportion that people are just going to simply give out. Their hearts are going to quit because of the fearfulness. Now, I would venture to say that there are people even today that scenario is holding true in their life, that they have, their heart has failed them because of fear. God doesn't want you living that way. And you don't have to live that way. And when we fear, when we operate in fear, and we're going to talk later on in this message tonight about some different types of fear, not, I won't say types, but manifestations of fear. That's a better word. Because, you know, fear is fear, but it manifests in different ways. There's, you know, fear of man. There's fear of failure. Fear of death is the biggest one. And so we're going to look at just a few of those attributes or manifestations of faith or of fear towards the end. But what I want first of all to focus on is what we need to do in order to not live a life filled with fear. Because I could come out here and tell you, don't be afraid. And I didn't do you very much good if I did that. It's almost like telling, you know, answering a person, you know, we want world peace. Well, how do you get world peace? Well, just don't have war. Oh, well, that's a real good answer. So I want to give you practical tools that you can use so that you don't have to walk in fearfulness, that you can walk in the love of God, because perfect love, as we're looking here in this verse, there's no fear in love, but perfect love, and that again is 1 John 4:18. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. Can you agree with that? Fear has torment. Have you ever just been in such torment over some particular situation, and you just simply can't get it out of your mind? Now, that's not God. And when you play it over and over and over again in your mind, and you know, you, this scenario just keeps getting worse, and the picture that you have inside is destruction. The picture you have inside is failure. You know, maybe you're seeing this little mini movie on the inside where, you know, they're repossessing your house, they're repossessing your cars. There's no food to eat in your house. You're losing your job. Whatever. You know, the economy completely goes flat. Whatever it is, that scenario keeps playing over and over in your head. And you see this movie. And this movie, the end is always horrible. But you can't get it out of your head. And it's just a torment. And if you let that go on, I'm telling you what, you know, you're heading towards that heart failing that we talked about from Luke 21. You can't let that happen to you. You can't let your mind be so dominated with thoughts of failure to where the picture that you have on the inside of you is failure, is death, is destruction. If that image is the image that's on the inside of you, that's got to be changed. You can't go on like that, because that is, you're going, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you allow that thought pattern to continue, you can't allow that to happen. God doesn't want you to be that way. He's given us tools to enable us to have victory in our life, beginning with the thoughts in our mind. You know, every one of us has a calling, whether you're called to the fivefold ministry, whether you're called to hold up the hands of the people that are in ministry, whatever it is, each one of us has a calling to fulfill. God expects us to fulfill it. God expects us to be walking towards the fulfillment of whatever the calling is on our life. And if we allow ourselves to focus on, you know, what's happening in this world, death and destruction. If we allow ourselves to focus on what the enemy is saying to us instead of what God says to us, we'll never fulfill that calling. You can rest assured you won't. If you're only surrounding yourself with what this natural world is saying to you, you're not operating in faith, because there's no faith in this natural world. And focusing on the situation as it stands is not going to produce faith. And you're going to end up walking down the path of death and destruction. It takes effort to walk in victory. It doesn't just happen. You know, God's will for your life doesn't just happen. It's not just by default. You know, it takes effort. It takes each one of us accepting the responsibility for doing what we need to do in order to fulfill the plan of God for our life, in order to walk in victory, in order to turn away from fear. It's easy to be afraid. Oh, for crying out loud, it's easy to be afraid. And particularly in the United States, at the end of October, everybody's celebrating being afraid of something. You know, they got Halloween. You've got this horrible day celebrating. I mean, it's just celebrating death and destruction. And, you know, and I know that's probably not real popular, but that's the truth. And so people are looking for ways to be afraid right now. Oh, please. You know, don't mess around with that. You're playing with fire. You know, turn away from that. Even the movies, you know, those scary movies, people want to be scared. They want to go to those scary movies. Forget about that. You're painting an image on the inside of you. Forget that. You know, some people have this idea that they can go to the movie and it won't hurt them. Baloney. You're painting that image on the inside of you, and it's already a created image. You're not just using words. I mean, there it is on the screen, and that's you're allowing that to get inside of you, and you better watch that. It's dangerous. So let's get back here to 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. I just feel so impressed to draw your attention to those words. No fear. We can live a life of no fear. And I know that to some people it's like, Mark, what you're saying is impossible. Here it is, right here in the Word of God. There's no fear in love. If we will operate in the love of God, if we will allow God's love to develop, to manifest, if we'll study His Word and His love will manifest in us, there won't be a place for fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Now let's look at a few things here. There's no fear in love. Now the question is, how can we access the perfect love that casts out fear? How can we get a hold of this stuff? Because if we can, then we can walk in fearlessness. So I did a little looking, and I'm not a Greek scholar or anything, but the word perfect, when it's used in this context here, it's talking about complete, conveys the idea of goodness without necessary reference to maturity. What does that mean? A lot of times when you see the word perfect in the scripture, it's talking about maturity. In this case, it's talking about a completeness that doesn't require maturity. The perfect love of God, there's not a necessity for it to mature. It is perfect in and of itself. It is complete. So how do we get access to this? Right, turn back to 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We talked about this last week. That verse says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." See, here's the key. Known and believed the love that God hath to us, not for us, to us. But focus your attention on those two words, known and believed. How do you think you're going to come to the knowing and the believing part? And I'm going to hold up the answer right here, God's word. This is where you're going to come up with the knowing and the believing. It's going to be from God's word. When his word becomes revelation to us, the knowing and the believing is there. Let me read it again. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Now look at the next word. God is love. He doesn't have love. He is love. I know that's hard for us to wrap our arms around the idea that God is love. But he is love. He is love. And so let's put this together, what we have at this point. There's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. God is love. There's no fear in God. Do you see that? There's no fear in God. He has no fear. And he expects us to walk exactly as Jesus walked this earth. Do you think Jesus walked around all anxious, all worried, all fretful? Oh, I don't know what those 12 disciples are out doing right now. I am just worried to death. Do you think Jesus ever said something that? No, he did not. He was not worried. He was not fretful. And that's the way God expects us to be. And I know that in the world we live in today, it's just almost impossible to think that you and I can live without fear. But we can. We can. It is possible. Because Jesus did it. And Jesus expects us to walk this earth exactly the way he did. Hallelujah. Think about it. He was tempted by the devil. And he didn't get in fear. How can you say that, Mark? Well, fear, remember, anything that's done, anything without faith is sin. And we know he didn't sin. So whatever he did in those temptations, he operated strictly in faith. He did not operate in fear. So where did fear come from anyway? You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, before the fall, there was no fear. There was no anxiety. There was no fretting. There was none of that. But then the fall came. And if you want to turn real quick, I can just read it to you. It's in Genesis chapter 3, verse 10. But let me go back to verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam, this is after the fall, and said unto him, Where art thou? In verse 10, and he said, that's Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. That's the first time in the Bible that you see that idea of fear or being afraid. It's right there. So look at it again. He said, and the Lord, verse 10, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid naked, and I hid myself. That's once sin and death entered into mankind. Now you see fear. See, fear is the product of sin and death. And if we're going to operate in fear, we're going to be subject to sin and death. We're subjecting ourselves to the power of the enemy who's been defeated. But when we fear, it's like taking gas and throwing it on a fire. what's going to happen? You're going to see a big firestorm. That's what happens when you operate and I operate in fear. We're just putting gas on that fire. The enemy loves it because we are empowering him to work in our life. Yeah, I've had opportunity here lately to be around animals, horses in particular. And a lot of times I get in the pen with them. And one of them is a big stallion. And, you know, you can almost tell whenever that an animal like that, when it knows that you're afraid. And I've forced myself, when I get in that pen with him, not to be afraid. I will not fear that animal. I don't do stupid stuff, but I'm not going to be afraid of it either. And can I control that? Oh, yeah. How do you control it? By what you think about. What's going on the inside of you? Controlling that. Not allowing your mind to go down those paths of having that little mini video of the horse, you know, stomping you to death. You know, I don't go down that path. And consequently, whenever I'm in there with him, I'm not fearful. I am, you know, I'm safe. I do what I'm supposed to do. I don't do stupid things. This idea that people have that, well, you know, a little fear is good for you. Oh, no, it's not. It's horrible. Even the least little bit. I've heard people that should know better that try to defend their worrying and fretting like it's something godly, but it's not godly. It's rooted in fear, and fear is of the devil. Simple as that. All right. So, any part of our lives that we allow fear to remain is because we lack, and get this, the revelation of God's love for us. And where do we get that? From God's Word. We just lack the revelation. Where do we get that revelation, Mark? From His Word. When His Word is revealed to us, that revelation of His love. Oh my goodness. It's easy to walk fearless when you have that revelation from the Word of God, His promise to you. That, you know, whatever the situation is that you're believing Him for, when that revelation opens up in your heart, it's easy. It's easy then to not be afraid, to trust God. But it takes effort. It doesn't just happen. You don't just wake up one day and you have no fear anymore. It doesn't work that way. 1 John, back in 1 John again, chapter 2, verse 5, says, "Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." What did we say? Perfect love casts out fear. In him is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The word keepeth there is to observe. So look at where we're getting this. His word. From his word. When we observe his word. When we look at. When we meditate. When we allow his word to become one in us. We become one with his word. What happens? In him verily, in this person verily, is the love of God perfected. See, this goes back to what I've already said. The revelation comes from his word. It's going to allow love and faith to develop. And as a result of that, we're going to walk fearless, without fear. All right? God and His Word are one. John chapter 1, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you desire a greater revelation of God, then you look to God's word. Since God is love, it stands to reason that a greater revelation of God will produce a greater revelation of love. You see how that works? As you will meditate in his word, what are you going to see? You're going to have a greater picture inside of you of God, of redemption, of what Jesus has done for us. And the more you study that, the more that, not just study, but feed on it. Allow it to get on the inside of you. The more that happens, the more that God's love is going to manifest in us. See, if you don't know, if you don't have that image of what God has done through Jesus on the cross, through redemption and the new birth, if you don't have that, and where do you get it from? His word. If that's not developing on the inside of you, then you're going to struggle when it comes to the picture of God that the Word, the picture of Jesus that the Word is unfolds to us, and then consequently, you're going to be struggling when it comes to His love, seeing His love, having a revelation of His love, because the only way you're going to get this is through His Word manifesting and revealing in your life this person Jesus. Hallelujah. So let me give you an example here. If I'm in fear of death, for example, that's a fear that a lot of people have. They're afraid to die. They're afraid, and quite honestly, it's just not something that I'm afraid of. But some people are. So let's say that an individual really struggles in that area. Christian. I'm not talking about just sinners. See, you know, we don't have a spirit of fear. That's what Paul told Timothy. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. See, the world fears. Because they've not been born again. So what they have is that spirit that was given to them from the first Adam, fallen nature. So they are going to fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. So if you're a born-again person and you're struggling with these fears, particularly in this case, as in this example, the fear of death. You're afraid to die. You're afraid of death. You know, that's not coming out of your reborn human spirit. This is something that's coming out of your soul. All right? It's because the person doesn't know and believe the love that God has for them. They don't have a revelation of the love that God has in the fact that He redeemed that person. The individual that has that kind of fear, they don't have a revelation of the fact that God loved them enough to send Jesus into this world to die for them. They don't perceive, they don't comprehend this kind of love that God has for them. And until they do, they're still going to struggle with fear. So where do they get this revelation? From God's word. They can look to the verses that talks about that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Christ Jesus. See, if they will meditate on those verses, then what's going to begin to happen from the inside out is a confidence that God loves me. God sent Jesus to die for me. And see, going back to what we said here at the beginning, where we read the verse, the perfect love that casts out fear. See, this is where the perfect love is going to come from, knowing and believing the love that God has to us. It's by finding in His Word the promises that have been made to us regarding our redemption, regarding our new birth, regarding all that Jesus did in defeating the devil on our behalf, and then meditating on those, allowing those to transform our thoughts and our soul. Because see, that fear is not coming out of your reborn human spirit. That fear is coming out of your soul, your mind, will, emotions, and intellect. And that, and according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2, in order to be transformed, then we have to renew our mind. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. That transformation process is taking place in your soul. You're training yourself. You're reprogramming the soul to think not the way the world thinks, but the way God thinks. And it's going to affect the way that you perceive God. It's going to affect the your understanding of His love for you. See, that's what we need to have. That's what will affect us in this area of being fearful or in living by faith. It's going to be in that place where we know His love for us. That He loves us. And the depth of His love for us. That's what will change us. And that comes through His Word. Revealed to us. By seeing the promises of the redemption, the promises of the new birth, the promises of not walking in poverty, because Jesus paid the price for our poverty. Jesus paid the price for our sickness and disease. So when we will meditate on those verses and allow that image of a God who loves us so much, that He would send His Son to suffer in our place. That it was His love for us. That we love Him because He first loved us enough to do this. Enough to redeem us. See, as that develops, as our understanding, as the revelation of His love for us manifests inside of us, it's not hard to be fearless and to walk free from fear. Our problem has been that we haven't taken the time to do that. Simple as that. And where John said, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Our problem is we haven't. We just haven't. And as a result, that love, that perfect love that casts out fear is not there. It doesn't just, you can't take a pill and have this perfect love in us. You can't just go to sleep one night, wake up the next day and, oh, there it is. God's perfect love just manifested in me. I didn't have to do anything for it. It's just there. No. We have such forces of darkness pressing against us. That it's kind of like climbing up a mountain. You know, there's some effort involved in doing this. And you've got gravity pulling against you. Well, for us living in this world, there's gravity in the form of the spiritual death that surrounds us that's pushing against us. It's an effort to go up this mountain. And to grow up spiritually and to walk fearless to put to death those fears. But bless God, He gave us His Word, and He gave us the ability to meditate His Word and for that revelation to manifest in us so that the perfect love of God can cast out fear. I want to talk here in the last little bit about some of the fears that we deal with. Fear of the unknown. Fear of failure. And here's one that I think a lot of people deal with. I know I dealt with this for years. And I'm not saying I'm totally free of it. I mean, my confession is I'm free. But it's fear of man. Fear of man. You know, encompassed in that fear of man is the fear of rejection, desiring to be accepted, being afraid that we're not going to be accepted, we're going to be rejected. Proverbs 29:25 is a great verse for that. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. See, if your trust is in man, you're already setting yourself up for trouble. Our trust has to be singularly in God and not in God and man and kind of split, you know, down the middle or maybe a little bit more trust in man. No, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in other people. When you do that, you're setting yourself up for hurt because they will let you down. And if you're looking to them for acceptance, you know, if there's a fear of rejection and you're looking to them for acceptance, you've opened yourself up to that person, and that person can hurt you very deeply. So this fear of man, this fear of rejection, in order to combat that, there has to be a revelation of God's acceptance, His wholehearted acceptance of you, and the fact that you don't need to have the acceptance of anybody else. It's not necessary. It's just not necessary. And if you need that, then that need is setting yourself up for hurt in the future. And you have to know that that need is a weakness. And the enemy will come in and he will destroy you through that weakness if he can. So that weakness has to be dealt with. How do you deal with it? Through the Word of God, through prayer, through maybe even fasting. For myself, that's one of the ways. I didn't even know God was focused on that in my own life. Fear of man, fasting was the way that He dealt with it. Now, I didn't just wake up one morning and said, bless God, I'm going to deal with this fear of man. I'm going to go on this fast until it's gone. It wasn't like that at all. It wasn't. But He knew what was in my future. And He knew that I needed to be free from this. So He was the one that drew me into it. And as I remember back about that fast, it was one of the easiest fasts I'd been on. Because it was God ordained. God was dealing with something. And He wanted my obedience to follow Him. Amen. So that's the fear of man. And then last one on my list here is the fear of rejection. You know, that fear of rejection, when we share the gospel with people, whether you're a preacher or not, doesn't matter. When you share the gospel with somebody, when they reject the message that you have delivered to them, they haven't rejected you personally. And it doesn't necessarily, I mean, they're not saying, you know, I don't like you. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting His message. It just came through your mouth. You're just the vessel that God used. So if it helps, don't take it personal. You know, it's not you that's they're rejecting, it's God. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Oh, you could just stop right there. If that doesn't give you great peace and great joy, he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Glory to God. God's on our side. God's for us. Who can be against us? Glory to God. Verse 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. The Lord is my helper. Glory to God. He's my helper. I don't have anything to be afraid of. What can man do to me? Hey, if it gets so bad that they take my life, bless God, I just became a martyr and I get to go to heaven as a martyr. That's not bad. You see, if that bothers you, it's because your mind still hasn't been renewed with the truth. You see what that? See what I said there? If that bothers you, you still need to have your mind renewed with the truth, because you're believing something that's not true, and that's where fear is coming in at. Let's read Romans 8. Verse 15 and 16. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I always like to mention when that word Abba there, that's like the most intimate form of the word father that you can imagine. I mean, he's your father. And just as intimate as you are with your parent, or you were with your parent, or you were with your child. That intimacy, God, we should have that level of intimacy, even on a greater level, with our Father God. That's what he expects. Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Glory to God. We're the children of God. See, that there's no reason to be afraid. The devil has been defeated. He's a defeated foe. All that spewing out of his mouth is lies. It is simply lies. So, but if we give ear to it, and that gets inside of us, that's where that fear is coming from. Because we're not listening to the right source. We should be listening to God's word. Because that's what's going to take us through. All right. I'm going to read a couple other verses here just to encourage your faith a little bit. Here's a couple out of Isaiah. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Glory to God. Fear not. Don't be afraid. My goodness. Our Father is God, and He is with us. Hallelujah. Next one is a couple of chapters over, Isaiah 43, verses 1 and 2. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. We are His. We belong to God. Hallelujah. That ought to get you excited. Oh my goodness, that just thrills me. We belong to God. Verse 2, when thou passest through the waters. Now look at these different, we want to look at these, and we're going to see these again in the book of Romans, in Romans 8. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. I'm telling you what, that sounds like victory to me. That sounds like our Father is taking care of us, that we don't have anything to be afraid of. Glory to God. Now, back in Romans 8, beginning in verse 31 through 39. Now, this has always been, these verses here in Romans 8 have always been some of my favorite verses. And I've always felt like they've been somewhat overlooked. They haven't had a lot of attention given to them. But I have found great comfort in these verses. As I read them, it encourages me. There's an anchor here that I can hold on to. Listen to these. What shall we then say to these things? Look at this. If God be for us, who can be against us? I mean, that statement right there, that you should hold on to that with both hands. If God be for me, who can be against me? God's for you. God is for you. I'm telling you what, somebody listen to this, you need to get a hold of that. God's for you. He's not against you. He's for you. And if God's for you, who can be against you? Hallelujah. Verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us half of everything? No. Freely give us all things. He gave his son for us. See, that right there, if you can meditate on that, if you can allow that to become one inside of you. See, this is where the perfect love of God is going to manifest in your life. Because you look at a verse like that, and it's not just words on the page anymore. You become one with this. It becomes one with you. His word becomes one with you. And you see, yes, God's for me. Who can be against me? He gave his only son for me. Glory to God. See, this is where the love of God's going to manifest in us. Hallelujah. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He's making intercession for us. Hallelujah. You look at everything that God has done and is doing for us. The devil doesn't have a chance. The only way the devil has any kind of a chance in our life is because we give him place. Because we meditate on destructive thoughts instead of on the Word of God. Now here's where I was referring back to Isaiah 43 verse 2. Talking about the different scenarios, walking through the fire, we shouldn't be burned, through the rivers, they shall not overflow us. Look at this in verse 35. Who shall separate us? Now look at what he says, from the love of Christ. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That pretty much takes care of everything. Now, and think about what I said earlier about the fears that we have. I was talking about the fear of the unknown, the fear of failure, fear of man. I mean, doesn't he cover that here? Tribulation, distress, persecution. See, that persecution right there, you get into the fear of man, the fear of rejection, persecution. See, look at this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? No, none of that. None of that's going to separate us. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are, look at this, more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors. Death, hell, the grave, all of that's been defeated on our behalf. We're more than conquerors. We don't have anything to fear. We don't have anything to be afraid of. We don't have anything to fret over. We are more than conquerors. You need to tell yourself that. You're more than a conqueror. Stop being afraid. I'm more than a conqueror. Mind, stop thinking those thoughts of failure. I'm more than a conqueror. Talk to yourself. Tell yourself, I'm more than a conqueror. Stop being afraid, mind. More than a conqueror through him that loved us, for I am persuaded. See, here we go back to that idea that we started out with from 1 John 4:16, knowing and believing the love that God hath to us. I am persuaded. See, that's the knowing and the believing. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See how these go together? The 38th verse with 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. This knowing and believing is what he said here when he talked about, I am persuaded. Where do you get persuaded from? You get persuaded from God's word that you've meditated till you're persuaded. God's already persuaded. We're the ones that got to get persuaded. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you. Listen to this over again. Listen to these verses. Let these verses change you on the inside. And don't be afraid. And every time that fear tries to rise up, you speak to it. Say, fear, you get out in Jesus' name. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for your love and the ability to be fearless in the face of whatever the enemy sins against us. Father, I thank you for a confidence in you through your word that will enable us to stand up against all the wiles of the enemy fearless. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.